guidelines. This is an engine living life, not having the instruction, the guidance from the Holy Spirit. And I know I'd be so lost. But I thank God, He gives us His word so that we can truly have a blessed life, a life that is truly holy and blessed by Him. Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer? Let's bow our hearts before our Father God. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for we know your presence abounds in this very place. And where you are, there truly is an abundance of your love, your peace, and your joy. Father, will you just let that continue to flow? Let there be an overflowing of your goodness in our lives. Knowing, Father, as we love you, as we serve you, as we give of our best to you, we know this is what pleases you. So, Lord, have your way in this time of service because it is all about you. Father, fill us overflowing of your holy presence now as our minds, our hearts, our souls, and our spirits are in tune to your voice. We give you all the praises in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. We pray these things. And everyone says, Amen. Amen. Praise God and praise God. Well, today the title of my sermon is Onward, Christian Soldier.
Oh, there's a little
echo as I said that. Onward, where? Christian soldiers. And like my brother just mentioned, we are moving next weekend. It's time to get excited because we know God's got a great plan for our lives. You know, we're going to do great and mighty work unto the King. But you know, I remember when I was a child, I think it was like 8 or 9 years old, I went to a Catholic school in Kalihi. You know, and even though I didn't believe in God yet at that time, I remember the teachers and the nuns would teach us songs from the church hymnals. And I remember, for some reason, this particular song called Onward, Christian Soldiers, though it was a really old song with old English words, I don't know. For some reason, I really liked it. And remember, I was only 8 or 9 years old, and I would go home and I would sing this song. I didn't really know the words. Sometimes I would make up the words, but I would sing, Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to the war. And I remember, my parents kind of looked at me, where'd you learn this song? You know, and I remember, I would just sing it, and I'd be so happy singing it. And I want to just read to you. I'm not going to sing the whole song to you, but I'll read you the lyrics to this song. He goes, Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward then, ye people, join our happy throng. Blend with ours your voices in a triumph song. Christ, the royal master, leads us against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Oh, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Crowns and thrones may perish, kingdoms rise and wane, but the cross of Jesus constant will remain. Marching as to war, oh, we're marching as to war. Don't you feel just like marching now? Like you're a soldier? And that's what I feel like, you know, as I was praying and seeking the Lord, you know, about, you know, moving to this new church, the Lord just put it in my heart and said, yeah, you are to tell the church, we're moving on. We're going onward as a Christian soldier. Because we know we are facing a battle. Because we know the devil, does he like the idea that we are all excited about doing the work of God? No, he's not. And he realizes we may be a threat to his evil forces. But we stand strong in the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And we know we're going to go far as we let the Holy Spirit of God just come in us and say, Lord, it is all you that will do the work. And we know we also had a lot of confirmation from a lot of the church members as they spent time in prayer, as they read their Bibles, they were given certain verses that we had to move forward. If we want to truly be blessed with much fruit, we must move forward. And God says, I will show you my plans. I will show you what I'm going to do through you. And I felt in my spirit as if we're accepting this mission, that it is so God-sized, it's so huge, that even people who don't believe in God, they realize this must be the work of God, because He will make all things possible, amen? As we say, Lord, yes, I'm the one that I want to go forth into that battlefield and do your work. And you know, as I was seeking the Lord this past Friday about what topic sermon to preach about, The words just keep coming to mind. Onward, onward, Christian soldier, onward, 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 onward. The Lord reassured me that we are to move ahead. And I'm sure a lot of you have felt the same. You know, even though there were some doubts in the beginning, I know the Lord's been speaking to us individually. And it's not about us. Remember last week I talked about being in your comfort zone. The Lord says, time to get out of your comfort zone. Time to get dirty with the Lord and say, Lord, wherever you send me, I'll go. Because I want to see your work come forth. And you know, the words onward, Christian soldiers, kept repeating in my head. And I just said, Lord, we're moving. We're moving forward. And you know, I also thought about what the Apostle Paul said to the believers in Corinth. As I was meditating on those words, onward, Christian soldier. And the Apostle Paul, he reminded the people in Corinth, the Christians, of what ministry was all about, what God had called him to do. I'm going to read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 1-6. It's in your notes, but I'm going to dissect it. It's all dissected in your notes. I'm going to read it in its entirety first, okay? So just listen carefully. In 2 Corinthians 4, 1-6, this is what the Apostle Paul says. He says to the Christians in Corinth, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not about ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. So here's the question. You can see it in your notes. When a church is powerfully moving forward with God, what should we expect? Like, we're going to expect mighty and great things if we know the Spirit of God is the one that's propelling us forward. Well, number one here, it says, expect a church in which the members are mission, right in your blank, mission-minded, mission-minded. And 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. And you got to understand, Corinthians were not just written to the preachers and leaders of Corinth. No, it was written to the church. And when Paul says, through God's grace we have this ministry, we must consider that all, I'm saying all, Christian believers, they have a ministry. And it's only through God's mercy that we have one. And you know, sometimes we think, oh, it's only preachers, right? Pastors, elders, deacons, aren't they the only ones that have a ministry? No. According to what the Bible says, all Christians are called to be the witnesses of God's word. So we are to minister in some form or fashion. Whatever the Holy Spirit puts in us, we're going to say, Lord, I'm willing. Because when I say mission-minded, you know, I don't mean, you know, you've got to go and pack your bags and do missionary work in a third world country. Or, you know, okay, I've got to take out my wallet and I've got to give to missions work. I mean, unless he tells you to do so. I'm talking about kingdom's work that could be done anywhere. Because it can be done in your own home. It could be done in your house next door or anywhere out in the community where God says, go and do as I tell you. Make a difference in another person's life. That's what it means to do missions work, kingdom work. You know, I recently read about an elderly woman. And you know, although she was restricted in her activities, she was so eager to serve Christ. She says, Lord, I want to do something for you. And she knew her body was weak and it was frail. But after praying about this, she realized that she could bring blessing to others by what? Playing the piano. And you know what? The next day, you know what she did? She placed a small ad in the Oakland Tribune. And in the ad, it read, pianists will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and discouraged. And the service is free. And you know, and then the notice included the number to dial. And a lot of people called. And she would ask, okay, what hymn would you like to hear? You know, Amazing Grace. And she would just play whatever song the person wanted to hear. And within a few months, her playing brought so much cheer to several hundred people that many of them were just pouring out their hearts. They didn't call just to listen to the music. No, they were talking to her and just telling her about her, their problems and their troubles. And she was, okay, let us pray. And she had such a powerful, powerful ministry. And she tried to encourage them as much as she could with the very words of God. And you know, your ministry doesn't have to be inside these church walls. It may be something that God has placed in your heart. Something in your heart that says, oh, man, I'm burdened about this person or this group of people. And you say, Lord, send me. And you don't have to wait until a church leader or a pastor asks us, oh, can you help me in this ministry, or can you do this? No, we take the initiative. If you know the Holy Spirit is burdening your heart to do something for someone, for His glory, just do it. And you see how you will be blessed. Because a church who takes the initiative and say, Lord, I want to go out there on a mission for you. A heart that says, Lord, I want to have a ministry for you wherever I go. I got to tell you, God will move with you powerfully. Amen? And we must believe that. As the Lord speaks it into us, we're going to do it. Look what it says here in Galatians 6:9. It says, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a what? A harvest if we do not give up. Church, do not grow weary in doing good. Whatever the Lord puts in your heart to do, you say, Lord, I'm there. Oh, I'm there. You know, an elderly woman needs help in moving furniture or whatever it is. Say, okay, Lord, I'll be the one. It's not necessarily just about preaching the gospel. It's about showing that you care. It's about you saying, I'm willing to give my time, to give my effort in helping someone out who needs help. That's what it's all about. That's what ministry is. Did you know that? That's what the Word of God tells us. It's showing people that you really care. Amen? Well, number two here, it says, expect a church that rejects deception. And this is what it says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. It says here, rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use what? Deception. And you know, the devil deceived Eve in partaking of the what? The forbidden fruit. We all know that, right? And the lie of the devil is that we're always going to be better off if we partake of sin. But if you're unhappy, oh, go ahead and try sin out. You're going to feel better. That's what the lie of the devil is. Because the devil told Eve that, you know what? You're going to be like God. And sometimes we think, okay, if we partake of the sin, nobody knows. We're going to feel better. We're going to feel fulfilled. We're going to be happier or whatever. But at the same time, as you are partaking of the sin, you know you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And when things don't work out the way we want to, you know, deception is always a tempting shortcut. Deception is knocking at your door, saying, okay, try me out. You tried it God's way, try me out. And you know what? It's the devil right there saying, turn away from God and try something of the world. And many times in our jobs, our health, our marriages, and personal lives, things don't work out the way we expect. And the only way to move forward, sometimes we got to just suck it up and say, Lord, I'm going to keep on going. I'm not going to stop, Lord. I'm going to keep going towards you. We got to have that kind of mentality. We got to have that kind of attitude. We do not let little things affect us to the point where we're frozen. We say, Lord, I'm at a standstill because I'm hurt. No, you say, Lord, I'm going forward. Regardless of what hurt I'm experiencing, Lord, I'm moving forward with you. That is why so many people give up on church when things don't work out as expected in their lives. And you know what? A lot of times I see this. A lot of people, they will look for a church that will accept their deceived belief. People will try to give them comfort in a way that is deceiving. Because, oh, okay, we understand your problem. Oh, poor thing, you know. But here's the problem. Some churches, they will say, oh, you know what? You come to our church. We're going to accept you for who you are. We're going to love you. We're not going to say anything about your lifestyle. You know what? We're not going to even correct you because God made you special the way you are. There are churches like that. We're going to accept your sin. And they know it's wrong, but you know what? Hey, this is the love of God. But you realize, no, the Bible says, you know, God does not tolerate sin. And we got to realize, we can't tell people, okay, it's okay, you know, God will understand your situation and he won't think anything about the sin that you're committing. We're just going to keep loving you. We're not going to be like other churches and make trouble for you. But we got to realize, we sometimes got to be truthful. We know there is sin in a person's life. We do it because we love the person. And we say, oh, brother, sister, this is not right. And you show them the word of God that says, no, you shouldn't be doing that. It's all out of love. Because look what it says here in Proverbs 13, 18, 15, and 31. It says here, whoever disregards discipline comes to what? Poverty and shame. But whoever heeds correction is honored. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home with the wise. Powerful words. You know, because a church that is moving forward with God will tell it like it is. And you know, I've been to many churches in my lifetime, and I know there were some churches where the pastor knew that there was a lot of things going on in the church that was a great sin, and he still allowed it. But I've been to other churches where the pastor didn't tolerate it, and he said, you know what, you shouldn't be doing that. And he would always bring his Bible and say, you know what, this is what the Word of God says. We must do the same. We go according to the Word of God. We do not judge others, but we know it's wrong. We bring the Bible and we show it to a brother or sister. Because you know what, brothers and sisters, I really believe it is unity in what we believe about the Scriptures that has gotten us to this point where we are as a church. Because we stand strong in the Word. We believe in the Word of God. And that's why God has allowed us to move forward. We're not going to distort the Word of God. We're not going to make the Word of God something where we're going to water it down or make it sound good to the point where people only come because it's only all good stuff. Sometimes we need to hear the truthful meat of the gospel so that it can affect our heart. Ooh, so that amen. We will want to change. Amen?
Yeah.
That we will desire that transformation that God wants in our lives. Because if we don't do it, I got to tell you, this unity will only take us back. We must be on the same track. We must believe what God tells us according to the Scriptures. Amen? And we stand strong. We stick to it. And we see the works of God being displayed as we do. Amen?
Amen.
Number three here, it says, expect a church that refuses to mishandle the Word. Write in your blank, the Word of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:2, it says, nor do we, what? Distort the Word of God. And what does it mean to distort? To change, right? To alter. And that's where some, you know, cults, they do that. And we are never to tamper with the meaning of Scriptures. Instead, we should build our beliefs around the Bible. We do not twist them to suit our beliefs. And you know, like I said, cults, they will often do this. They will change the meaning of Scriptures or they will add something to the Bible. And if you do that, the Bible says, no, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We never add or alter what's in the Bible. And just to let you know what the definition of a cult is so you know, in the Webster's Dictionary, it says, a cult is a small religious group that is not part of a larger and more accepted religion and that has beliefs regarded by many people as extreme or dangerous. So usually it starts out as a smaller group or religious group, right? And they just put in their own thoughts and try to, you know, interpret what they think the Scriptures is saying. But you know what? It's totally taken away from the true meaning of what that verse is actually supposed to say. And I give you some examples of what some more common cults believe. Take a listen to this one. This one common cult says that there are many gods in heaven, and God used to be a man and eventually became an exalted being. And they will also tell you, yes, you too can eventually become a god. And you know, you gotta understand, this particular cult will call themselves Christians too. And here's another one, another different cult. It says, that Jesus was not God. He was merely the Son of God. If Jesus was God, he could not have died. Oh, how can that be? The Bible tells us Jesus, he suffered and he died on the cross for us, and he is God. And yet this cult will say, no. No, he's not God. He's a man, merely the Son of God. And then this other cult, and I got to tell you, this cult actually has the word Christian in their title. I think you know which one I'm talking about. This one says, man has no body and has never sinned. And sin does not exist, so man needs to be saved only from false beliefs. And you go, whoa. And they call themselves Christian. I'll just tell you what group this is. This is the Christian Science group. That's what they believe, that man has no body and never sinned. I don't really know what they mean by that, and I don't want to know, but that's what they believe. And you know, here's the thing. The devil is out there to deceive, right? He'll say, oh, but it's okay to believe that. The devil will say, oh, you know what? They have Christian in their title. They must be Christians. We got to be careful, brothers and sisters. If anything goes against the Word of God or is changed in a way that you know it's not as it was intended to, no, reject it. Because, you know, the devil also told Eve that she wouldn't die as a result of eating the forbidden fruit. And you know there's a hint of truth in his life. Did you know that? Because did Eve die right on the spot? No, not physically, but she did spiritually, and she began to die physically. It was after she ate that fruit. She began to die physically. And as a result of her disobedience to God's word, she and Adam were driven out of the Garden of Eden and away from the tree of life. And you know, I have to tell you, many prosperity gospel preachers today, they do the same thing. You guys heard of prosperity gospel preaching before? And basically, they tell people that God wants them to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. And you may be saying, oh, wait a minute, pastor, that's what is good, isn't it? That's what we should want. But the only problem is that's all they'll tell you, that you have to be healthy, wealthy, and wise if you're a believer. If not, something is wrong with you. That's a danger. Because, yes, God wants to bless us in these areas, but more than that, he wants us to be spiritual beings first. Because God doesn't want us to be led by our physical, financial, or intellectual life. So sometimes God has to repress these areas in our lives so that we will respond to him on a spiritual level. And you know, the prosperity preachers tell people that the only reason why they don't prosper physically or financially is because they lack faith. There's something wrong with your faith. You don't have enough faith. So you know what? That's why you get all these problems. But you got to realize sometimes God will allow these things to happen because you know what? When we tune into the Holy Spirit in those times of difficulty, guess what? Our character is being built. We're becoming more like Jesus. As we hang on to God, God says, I'm here for you, child. Keep holding on to me. So sometimes you realize, yeah, God will allow these things so that we can truly grow in our faith. And you know, as a result of their lack of faith, as they tell the people, that's why you're weak, you're desperate, and you're sickly. But if that's true, how do you explain this next verse? It's in your notes, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 9. And this is the Apostle Paul talking here. He says here, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given me a what? You guys know this, a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in what? Weakness. Wait a minute. In weakness? His power is made perfect? Yes, that's what it says. So when you're weak, when you're downtrodden, just don't keep your head down. No, look up to the sky and say, Lord, thank you for being with me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, empower me. Don't keep your head down, brothers and sisters, because that's what the world will do when they're hurt, when they're at a point where it seems like they're so lost. No, we keep our heads up. We look to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And you know, the Apostle Paul, who penned half of the New Testament, you know, he prayed that God would remove this certain type of suffering from his life. But did God do it? No. So was Paul's faith too weak? No, of course not. God purposely allowed suffering to remain in his life so that Paul would be strengthened spiritually. And he was. He found strength through God. And, you know, here's the other thing. The other thing we don't like sometimes is the truth. You know, just like the guy who received a call from his wife as she was about to fly home from Europe. And as she called, you know, the husband picked up the phone and she asked the husband, "Hey, so how's my canary Tweety by?" she asked. And the husband responds, "Dead." "What?" she says. "Oh, why do you have to be so honest? Why didn't you break the news to me slowly? You ruined my trip." And the husband says, "What do you mean?" And she says, "You could have told me that he was on the roof. And then when I call you from Paris, you could have told me he was acting a little sluggish. Then when I call you from London, you could have said, oh, he was sick. And then when I called you from New York, you could have said, oh, he's at the vet. Then when I arrived home, you could have said, oh, by the way, your canary's dead." And you know, the husband never experienced such protocol, but he was willing to learn, right? He says, "Okay, okay, honey, I'm so sorry. I'll do better the next time." And then she says, "Oh, by the way, how's my sweetie pet pig Petunia?" And there was a long silence. And then he replied, "She's on the roof." Sometimes, here's the thing, we want to know the truth, right? But sometimes, you know, when we're so overly sensitive, you know, people have a hard time telling us the truth. Look what it says here in Jeremiah 9:5. It says, "Your friend deceives friend, and no one speaks the truth. They have taught their tongues to lie. They worry themselves with sinning." And there are cases where, yeah, even friends can let us down, right? Friends can lie. Friends can stab us in the back. You know, but, you know, the thing is, we are to forgive and we are to love regardless. But you know what? There are sometimes that clearly and plainly, it is our fault that our friends are lying to us. Because, yeah, if your friend knows that you are so overly sensitive and you get easily hurt by the truth, guess what? Do you think they're going to speak truth in your life? No. Because it's, oh, if I speak truth, I'm going to get attacked. I mean, I know he or she will not be happy with it. And, you know, I always tell my brother and my friends, I tell John Lee, you know, please be honest with me because I know that, you know, if I've done something wrong, hey, please tell me about it because I don't want to hurt anybody. But sometimes, you know, I may be careless with my words or I say something that I didn't realize I really hurt someone. And you know, people who really love you, they should be able to tell you the truth.
Amen.
And, you know, I got to tell you about this son who, on a Sunday morning, was lying in his bed. And, you know, he didn't want to get out of bed, so the mom comes and says, "Son, you got to get ready for church." And the son says, "Oh, I don't want to." And the mom says, "But why?" And the son says, "Oh, you don't know. People don't like me at the church. They don't listen to me. They don't talk to me. Mom, give me reasons why I should go to church." And the mom says, "Well, you should go because you're there to worship God. And all your family, you're all going to be going. And most importantly, you're the pastor."
Oh, no.
And we realize it doesn't matter who you are, right? Pastor, leader, whatever. You know, sometimes, you know, when we get easily offended, you know, I mean, it will affect our relationship with our loved ones. It will even affect our relationship with God. And we got to realize we got to be more thick-skinned. We got to allow the Lord to make it so that we don't get so affected by what people say. Because we know God's called us on a mission. And you know what? A lot of times, on that mission, people will say whatever they want. I know a lot of people said many nasty things to me and about me. And I said, "Lord, help me to flush it away." When it comes in, I said, "Lord, I'm not going to receive it. It's not the truth. So, Lord, I'm just going to keep on preaching your word. I'm going to keep on doing the work you call me to do." Sometimes a longer flush, by the way. And you just gotta do it and say, Lord, I'm not receiving it. It's not the truth. Lord, help me to move forward. Move forward with you. Amen?
Amen.
Number four here. It says, expect a church that appeals to everyone's consciences with the word of God. And 2 Corinthians 4:2, it says, on the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. You ever heard of someone say, you might have said this too, oh, my conscience is killing me. You ever said that before? And they're talking about what? Their inner thoughts or their intentions. It's the part of them that urges them to choose right over wrong. And you know, God has placed a conscience in every man, even those who don't believe in Him. And you know, sometimes, though, our consciences may be hardened, it may be seared as a result of too many bad choices. But everyone, you got to understand, is born with a conscience. And you know, when the Word of God is preached plainly and truthfully, it will appeal to everyone's conscience, regardless of whether they are spiritual or not. And we got to understand, when we say yes to God, the Holy Spirit came in and it instructs our conscience. This is the difference between us and the world. The world does not have the Holy Spirit, because the Bible tells us when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit becomes your counselor. But you know what? If you start reading Matthew chapter 5 today, that's what the one with the Beatitudes, and tells us how to love one another deeply, about not hating your brother. There's so many good things what Jesus teaches us in Matthew 5. If you were to do this, read it for 15 minutes every day, Matthew chapter 5, for the rest of the week, I got to tell you, if you let the Word of God just sink into your heart, by the end of the week, I guarantee you, it will appeal to your conscience. That's how powerful the Word of God is. And if you allow yourself just to meditate in the Word of God like this every day, you don't know what to do. Your conscience will try to figure out, okay, what should I do? The Holy Spirit will speak it into you with the very words of God. That's how powerful the Word of God is. We must tune into it every single day. Look what it says here in John 8:32. It says here, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we know it's the truth of the Word of God, that will set us free, because we know we're held in bondage. If you don't know Jesus, you don't know God, you're still shackled in chains, because the devil is telling you to do what he wants you to do, and you're doing it. It's when we receive God that we say, no. And Jesus cut those chains. He broke those chains and says, no, my word will set you free. My truth will set you free. And we are no longer bound to whatever addiction or whatever sin that may be holding us back. We're not going to let the devil have his way in our lives. And you know, depending where our heart is and depending on our circumstances, sometimes the truth will either calm us or disturb us. And if your heart is in love with God, I got to tell you, it will calm you. Suddenly, the word of God just comes right into your mind. That's what I need, Lord. He just gives you His word right at that moment when you're just in great despair. And it starts to settle in your heart as you meditate on what the word of God was given to you. And then you realize, oh, I'm at peace now. Oh, there's hope. Now, God will see me through this. That's why it's so important. You got to let the Holy Spirit speak into your mind and into your heart. And you just go to Him simply and say, Lord, help me. Lord, speak to me, and He will. He'll give you words of life. Because when we deal with the truth head on, guess what God will do? He will surgically remove falsehood from our lives. Look what it says here in Hebrews 4:12-13. It says here, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. We realize, yeah, the truth sometimes, it does hurt. You know why? Especially the Word of God, it cuts deeply. That's good. Because sometimes in the physical, if it is a deep cut, I mean, it's more painful, right? Because you probably might have hit a nerve or something. But you know, when I talk about the Word of God coming in and just cutting right into your heart, and you realize, man, I got to make it right with the Lord. That's where you know. If you receive it and you say, Lord, help me to make it right, your life will truly be blessed. And we must be willing to be a church that gives and receives the truth wholeheartedly. Because this is the only way, brothers and sisters, that we can truly mature in the things of God. We got to speak to each other truthfully. But remember, it's in love. Not in judgment. No, in love. And we open our Bibles. And if you don't know where it is in the Bible, you know, you can either ask one of the leaders of the church or ask me, and I'll help you to show you where it says in the Bible that this particular thing person is doing is wrong. That's so important. We must use the Word of God to correct. It's not based upon what we think, what is right or wrong. No, it's based on what the Bible says. And you know what? If you bring your Bible and the brother or sister sees it right in front of them, they can't refute it, right? Because it's right there. That's why it's so powerful when you have the Word of God right in front of you and you're showing it to someone, you know, who needs to be corrected. Amen?
Yeah.
We got to do it boldly because it's out of love. Remember, it's out of love that we're doing it. And number five here, it says, expect a church that realizes that some people simply will choose not to believe, and that is okay. So choose, right in your blank, choose not to believe, and that is okay. Let me explain that to you. But let me read to you this verse first, 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. And it says here, and even if our gospel is veiled, that means it's covered, right? It is veiled to those who are perishing. Who are the ones that's perishing? The ones who don't know the Word of God, who have not received the Word of God yet. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And we got to realize the God of this age is who? The devil. And he's using every means possible to blind the eyes of all the unbelievers to the truth of the gospel. He doesn't want them to know the truth about who Christ is. And we must be willing to accept the fact that some of the people who heard Jesus preaching and saw his miracles rejected him. Because, you know, I have to tell you, sometimes people think, oh, but we go to such a great church and the pastor's teaching is so good and the Word of God is being brought forth in a way that we know people, they have to receive God. And you know, the Bible studies and all the stuff, man, I don't understand why this person is not receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, even though we have all these things, does this guarantee that the person will come to receive Christ? Well, maybe, hopefully, we pray eventually, right? But doesn't guarantee it. Because, you know what? Like I said in that statement, it's okay. If they choose not to believe, it's okay. But we pray for them. Because, you know what? I've heard too many cases where a lot of Christians, other churches I've been to, where we go out and evangelize, and you know, so many people, they say, oh, don't bother me with that. I'm busy. Oh, get that away from me. And, you know, and I know Millie, right? You know, he's on the evangelism team, right? You get that kind of responses too, right? And but you know what? Does Millie say, oh, okay, forget it. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm hurt. No, Millie says, okay, let me add the next line. That's the attitude we got to have. We got to say, Lord, I know your Word is powerful. I know what the Word of God can do. I look at my own life and say, wow, I know it's powerful. So we just say, we move on. Don't get discouraged. You move on. You say, Lord, who shall I talk to next? That's the one thing we don't want to let in, discouragement. Because, you know, the devil, he's going to try to bring forth bad experiences, you know, difficult family situations to cover the eyes of the non-believers to the truth. A lot of times the non-believers, oh, but you don't know what happened to me, or you know what, I had a bad experience with this one Christian, you know, and you know, when I went to his church, they're all hypocrites, And, you know, I hear that a lot, and I go, oh, but don't let your heart and affection for Christ be affected by what other people have done to you. You know, if you go to God knowing that He loves you, just because someone did you wrong, someone that you thought was a Christian didn't act like a Christian, you know, you're saying, no, I don't want to know more about God because of that person. No, don't let that affect you. Know that as you go to God with your own heart, God will show you who He is. He will cover you with His love. Do not say it's because of someone else. No. You try it. You go to God with your own heart. Regardless of what other people have said or done to you, you just go to Him with your whole heart. You'll see what God will do in your life. Because, you know, here's the truth. Some people, they just don't want to choose God because they rather live with a self-made illusion than the reality of what the Bible tells us. You know, they perceive that the world is all good, that they believe, oh, the world is only getting better. But we know it's not. We see the condition of our world right now. Morality has kind of been thrown out of the window. We got to step forward and say, Lord, we're not going to stand for this. We want to stand for truth. We want to stand for the Word of God. And you know, you heard of the term, right? I'm sure you heard of someone saying a seed has been planted in that unbelieving heart. You guys heard of that, right? And you know, just like with any seed, when you pop it into the dirt, does it start sprouting immediately, just within a second? Whoop! No, it doesn't, right? It takes time to what? Grow. And that's where we gotta believe, right? Just because you spoke the word of God and the person rejected it, doesn't mean that he'll continually reject it. There may become a time where he's thinking, oh, I remember what that brother or that person said. And wow, they start thinking about it, they start to receive it. And you know what? I like to think of it this way. That you can think of your prayers, because after you finish witnessing to that person, you just pray that God will just allow the Word of God just to sink deeply, more deeply into the person's heart. And you know, just like with anything, any kind of plant, right, that has to grow, what do you got to put in the dirt?
Water. Fertilizer.
Fertilizer, right? Whether it be chicken manure or Miracle-Gro or whatever it is, right? But here's the thing. You can think of your prayer as fertilizer. You know, that as you pray, you know, you're letting the Holy Spirit of God come in. And you know the Holy Spirit of God is the one that will change the person's heart, that will soften the person's heart. I know it's not the most pleasing thing to think about, you know, about your prayers being fertilizer, but that's the truth, right? You know, fertilizer makes the plant grow in the same way, you know, as you pray for that person. I believe it will start to grow. And the Word of God will just get bigger, stronger, to that very point where they say, oh, I need God. Help me, God. So don't be discouraged. Keep going forward with the Word of God. And let me ask you a question here to kind of start concluding sermon for today. If I were to ask you whether you could see farther in daylight or darkness, what would you say?
Daylight.
Okay. How many people say daylight, that you can see farther? Just raise your hand if you believe we can see farther in daylight.
What's that question again?
If you, if I were to ask you whether you could see farther, right? In daylight or in darkness? Which do you think?
Is that a trick question?
Well, you'll find out in a minute. What do you think? So how about darkness? How many people think you can see farther in darkness?
Darkness.
Darkness? Okay.
Good question.
Okay. Well, I want you to think about this, because most people, right, they would assume that you can see farther in daylight, because you can see in daylight, right? But think about it. At nighttime, what can you see?
Stars.
Yes, nighttime you can see the stars. The stars, they're millions and billions of miles away. Isn't that true?
Yep.
It's only in darkness that you can see them. It's invisible to us in the light of day. You know the stars don't move, right, during the daytime. They're still there, but we can't see it during the day. Think of brother.
Epiphany, bro.
And that's the thing, right? I want you to understand. You know, the ancient Hebrew prophets, they lived and prophesied in times of great spiritual darkness. You know, like in the Old Testament, they were telling people, turn from your evil ways, and the people just bashed them and just kind of get away. And one prophet was thrown in a well. But you know what? Their message provided vision that stretched into the future, even throughout eternity. You know, they preached of this great light to those who were in total darkness. And guess what that light is? Jesus Christ. We are to go for it. Because a lot of times people say, oh, but where are you going? Oh, is that place dangerous? Well, you know what? Wherever we go, God is with us. And, you know, people have commented to me, say, Pastor, you realize your church is between two bars. And I go, yeah, I know. I'm one of those adults, you know. But I said, you know what? God puts us where He wants us to be. We are to be a light in the darkness.
Amen.
I say, Lord, wherever you want me to go, I'll serve you. I'll give of my best unto you. And what it says here in Isaiah 9:2, it says here, the people who walk in darkness will see what?
A great light.
Oh, I love that. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, light will shine. No, I really believe where God is sending us, we are to bring a great light. Because, you know, I've been told that a lot of people in the community in that area, they're unchurched. God says, you be my light. You show them who Jesus Christ is. We know as we preach the word of God boldly and mightily, we know the light of God will come. The light from His Son will just shine forth. Even though it may be covered in darkness, the light of God will come as we preach the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And remember I mentioned earlier that some brothers and sisters receive confirmation from the Lord that we are to make this move. I just want to share with you some of the things that were spoken through Scripture to many of us, you know, in this church, that we are to proceed forward, that we are to go onward to do the work of God. So the first one here is Deuteronomy 12:11, and this was actually given to Sister Tina. Sister Tina here? Oh, okay. But you know what? It's kind of funny. The way she told me how she received this verse was, on a certain night, it was, guess what time? 12:11. That God says, Deuteronomy. And she goes, what? Deuteronomy. And she looks at her watch, 12:11. And I just want to read to you what this verse says. It's not in your notes, but it says, then to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for His name, there you are to bring everything I command you, your burnt offerings and sacrifices, your tithes and your special gifts, and all the choice possessions you have vowed to the Lord. Just to think about this, He will choose a dwelling place for His name. And we are to bring everything that He commands us to bring, everything that we have here. We're just going to bring it and glorify God there. And then another scripture that was spoken mightily was Jeremiah 31:21. I just want you to listen to this. It says, set up road signs, put up guideposts, take note of the highway, the road that you take. Return, Virgin Israel, return to your towns. And the verse that really popped out at me was, take note of the highway. And when I saw that, the highway that I thought of was Leaky Leaky Highway. That's on the road to Kalihi Valley, to that church. And you know, you may be, oh, come on, Dan, you really believe that? You know what? It's when I read it, the Lord just said, boom, Dan, I'm talking about Leaky Leaky. Yeah, God didn't say like, He knows how to pronounce it too. And I go, yes, Lord. Oh, I know that's true, Lord. And then this verse, in Ezekiel 37, it says here, just listen here. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out of the spirit, or brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. What do you think of when you think of the word valley? Kalihi Valley. And it was full of dry bones. Then He caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. And again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I want you to understand what this verse is telling us here. God says he will put breath into these dry bones and they will live. But before God could do that, what did he have to do? He had to tell the prophet Ezekiel to prophesy to these bones and say to them, O bones, hear the word of the Lord. Just like what God had done with Ezekiel, he's doing it with us. Remember I told you, he said most of the people there are unchurched. He's telling us, go. Go. Preach the word of God. Tell these dry bones to rise up. Hear the word of God. And live. And live. You got to say yes, Lord. Whatever you ask, I will do. And as we say, Lord, I am ready. He may be telling us right now, onward, Christian soldier. That's how we got to look at it. We're a soldier unto the Lord. We're in the army of God. And we're going to say, Lord, I'm ready. Your cross is before me. Your cross is behind me. Lord, I'm ready to go wherever you ask. Lord, I'm ready. Let that be the cry of your heart, brothers and sisters, because we know much fruit will be born as we have this kind of heart. Remember, onward, 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 Christian soldiers. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father God, we know we're hearing the battle cry. Onward, Christian soldier. Father God, we know we are fully equipped. We are ready to do battle as your Holy Spirit has empowered us to do great and mighty works unto the King. Father God, will you just charge us up in our spirits, Lord, as we No, next week we're not going to be here anymore. We're going to be in Caligi Valley at the center of light. Oh, what an awesome name. And we know, Father, you got a great purpose and reason why we are to be there. And we go with high expectations, knowing, Lord, that it's not about us being comfortable or us being entertained or us, you know, hearing a message that makes us feel good. No, it's about your word being preached mightily so that people will truly experience the life, the abundant life that you promised to all those who believe in you. Father God, I just pray right now for all my brothers and sisters, including myself, Lord, as we make that transition, that we will just let that excitement just grow, knowing, Father, that we're so excited to see what you will do. Now with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be sensing the Holy Spirit just touching your heart right now. And he's telling you to rise up because there's much kingdom work to be done. And you're saying, Lord, I am ready. Lord, I haven't really stepped out in the past, but I'm willing to right now. Whatever you ask, I want to do. Because we know, Father, for a heart that's willing, you're going to use that heart to bring forth so much fruit. If you know that's the cry of your heart, saying, Lord, send me. Show me, Lord, how I can further your kingdom's glory. And if that's truly the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand and say, that's me? Oh, I want to be used by God's glory so that I can show the world that Jesus Christ lives. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Oh, praise God. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. More importantly, it's the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I am ready. I'll serve you wherever, whenever, however you ask, Lord, I am ready. Father God, I just pray, Lord, that as they have made this decision to move forward with you, I pray, Lord, that the enemy will be silenced in the name of Jesus Christ, that he will not bring forth discouragement. He will not bring forth distraction. As we move forward in unity as a body of Christ, I pray, Father, that we're going to see miracles happen all around us. Not just every now and then. No, every day. All the way for you, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, just give us the faith to believe that nothing is impossible with you, Father. And I just pray as we go and minister to the community, that I know many hearts will turn to you. Many lives will be transformed as they realize how desperate they are in need of a Savior. And our Savior's name is Jesus Christ. Praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Oh, we go with great excitement, Father. I just feel it right now with my brothers and sisters. This excitement that we have in this move that we're doing for you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people, you know, saying that you can have a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your heart. And if you're ready to say, Lord, I want to receive you into my heart. I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. And if you know the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart, the Bible says, don't resist it. Because God loves you. He wants His best to come in. He wants you to be a part of His family. But to do so, you must receive His Son, Jesus Christ, into your life. And if you are ready, you're saying, yes, Lord, I want you fully in my life. I surrender, I submit my life to you. And if that is the cry of your heart, can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Yes, Lord, I want you, all of you in me. Praise God. Anyone else? Whew, hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Let's pray. Just repeat these words after me. If you know that the Holy Spirit has led you to this, just say these words. Not just like how you mean it, but knowing that the Lord knows your heart, that you really, really mean this. As we pray this prayer, just repeat after me and know that God is going to just allow His Spirit just to move within you. And you just repeat after me these words. Say, Father God, I need you. And I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. Yes. So that everyone can hear me. So that I can hear myself. So that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord.
Jesus Christ is my Lord.
I live for Him.
I live for Him.
And I live for Him only.
I live for Him.
Father God,
write my name
in your book of life. For I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray.
Jesus' name.
And everyone says,
Amen.
Let's all stand. Let's give